That was good. That was great. That actually saved us. I'm sorry, I'm just a bit upset. I'm a bit...
Oh, I get
Hannah,
it.
You need to fucking listen.
I'm listening, yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Dear Francis, would you please assist?
I have a wonderful little daydream for a moment that if I could just destroy the entire blood supply here, that would do it. That would cause our blank bodies to come out of the nest.
Did you see the door opening?
No.
No one came in.
I don't know if I sleep and dream or if I see, but this night there's this glistening, like liquid hanging in air, reflecting light. 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 Light.
This is Red Moon Roleplaying.
Every day in lockdown, every week, and especially every fatality, brings ominous atmosphere closer to misty, murky, warm, boiling unrest. It hasn't been a quiet night now for 3 days. There are spoons being banged against doors, there's screaming, there's the ordinary let me outs and medical emergencies that turn out to be faked. There's the same singing. And tonight, some sort of ranted sermon. It comes from below, one of the cells on the first landing. The voice, broken English, is recognizable. It's the Russian. And it's on a roll. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his blood brother, and slew him. Yes, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? A voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now thou art cursed for the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall henceforth yield unto thee. Nothing, not her strength, a fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be on the earth. Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. From thy face I shall be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and vagabond on the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. And this is oft forgotten, but Cain knew his wife. Cain knew his wife, and they bare Enoch, and he builded a city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch, and unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Methusael, and Lamech had two wives, and unto eternity the line of Cain goes on and on, one cursed after another, and the curse lives here, the curse lives here. Car slips here. The Pig and the Nail is the local establishment, just a spit and a stone throw away from Armley Jail. It's famous mostly for serving up some great Thai and for enormous patience with shenanigans and drunken behavior. Also, they draw a very good lager. So, naturally, this is the gathering place for screws after work shift. There's even photographs of retired screws on one of the back walls. Some of them marked with an extra black band, noting they were killed in the line of duty. But tonight there are no such heavy thoughts here. It's the end of training day and everyone is here, with the notable exception of Neela. Oh, Mom has made some excuse about having to get home to her children, and that she doesn't drink, of course. Hannah has been something of a whirlwind for the last half an hour, showing one of her knocked out teeth to anyone who will see it, being rewarded mostly with shots and claps on the back. Yeah, Rudy's elbow did that. Just casually. You're possibly quite lucky to be alive. But there you are, Alice, sitting in one of the stalls, and Hannah slumps down and shines a beaming smile at you and raises her Stauffer Press cider, holding a jelly shot in the other hand.
Jesus Christ.
Cheers!
Okay. Cheers. You look terrible, but cheers.
Down the hatch! We live to fight another day! The brave soldiers! Woo!
Yeah, you will go and get that fix, alright?
Yeah, porcelain's gonna be beautiful, and I'm gonna get myself a wee bit of a bleach at the same time, I think. That will look very sexy, I think.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah, so she looks at her watch. Yeah, Harry should be here soon. Yeah, my boyfriend, I can introduce you and stuff.
I would love that.
Yeah?
Yeah. I have calmed down a bit. I was rather angry with Hannah just after it happened, but now I have, like, breathed it out and are mostly fine. Trying to kind of process what it was that happened and what it entails for me, while also trying to be this, I don't know, friend and colleague and drink beer with the guys kind of type. But I think I start to feel that I've been up during the day for quite some time now. It's okay. I'm used to it now, but it's a bit taxing. I'm a bit taxed. But I hope it will be worth it.
Yeah, what does it mean? What does it mean that you've fucked him up so badly? I mean, how would it feel? What did it do to him?
At least he didn't die.
No. Not from all you know, not from all you've seen.
And if she knew what he was, which she obviously did, she wouldn't have dragged him out in the sun to let him burn. That would be bad. That would be like in front of everyone. So it must have been some kind of test. And I'm trying to wrap my head around if...
Whatever.
I think I passed. And I take another sip of my beer, and I accept the shot, and I take that as well. And, you know, ha ha ha, banter, 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 but also like, fuck, I need... Oh, shit. I wouldn't...
Hey! You're a bit distant, girl. I'm right here. And here's Harry!
Yeah.
Harry comes walking through the slightly smoking pub. Their tolerance extends to smoking, of course. And... he steps up to the table holding a tray filled with beers and more jelly shot and a Stauffer Press for the lady. He's a bit shy of 6 feet. Handsome bloke, not a hair on his body, completely shaved. One thing what must give him his screw nickname, 8 Ball.
Maybe that or that there are eight other bald guys. You don't really quite know, but there is eight bald sitting down. Yeah, he smiles with his broad mouth and his green, bright, big eyes dart curiously looking at you. Ah, so finally I get to meet you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Hello.
Cheers.
I reach out my hand for him to shake. Yeah,
the first things first, he puts down the beer in front of you and raises it. And yeah, two damn vicious ladies. Clunk, clunk, clunk. And he drinks.
Yeah, sure. And to Hannah.
Yes.
She did good today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And these, you are the vicious ladies of Omly. I'm impressed. I gotta say, everyone's heard it. You know, we were three guys on him. Three.
Yeah.
Like the other two, it was Handlebars, me, and the huge Polish guy from Sea Wing. We went in shields, everything, could not move that man. Not a inch.
Yeah, but he was half dead when we...
Yeah, I mean, we did,
went in there,
we did suffer enough for you, a tiny bit. I have to admit that. That's that for sure.
So thank you for that, because otherwise we might have not been able to move him either. So
no, that's the thing.
So
some people get very
attached.
You know? Yeah, yeah, yeah. We should stick together.
Screws.
Yeah, you just got, what do you have? Like 3 months left, and then you're fully employable.
Yeah,
it's,
something like that. You think
it's
going
to be fun hiring? Seeing you in there. You and Hannah's going to... You're going to liven the place up. he looks... he stays his gaze at you a little bit too long and smiles with teeth.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's not an easy job, but if you know how to do it, the money's not bad.
Mm. You've done it long?
Yeah, this is my third year. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I transferred from Belmarsh.
And you like it?
Yeah. Yeah, this is better than Belmarsh, for sure. Yeah. For sure. I mean, older offenders, meaning less fucking trouble. Less people having to prove themselves, you know.
Yeah, I can see that. I can totally see that. But has it been like... Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Like, there is like this whole section that is shut off.
Yeah.
What's up with that? How long has it been shut off, and like what's
in
there?
Oh, D-Wing. Most of it now is like building material. There's a solitary in the basement. That's the only active part that I know.
Okay.
It's there right now.
Do you know when they are opening it up, or?
I mean, it is. I think there's a couple of people down there. It's Moss territory mostly. She's in charge of that wing, but it's like there's no traffic. I think there's like three prisoners down there.
Okay.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. It's like, it's not like...
Yeah.
I mean, the VPU solitary has a lot of circulation all the time, so that's where I do most of my movage. Like you saw, I mean, Rudy was a typical movage.
Yeah.
He had to go, different cells, going downtown isolation, didn't want to go, there you go. Got to play it rough sometimes.
So he's down there now, right?
Yeah, yeah, he's a bloody popular prisoner also. You know,
he is?
Yeah, I mean, from the outside.
How come? Who is he?
There's a lot of letters coming in. Something political, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He gets support letters from some sort of fucking black flag groups and stuff. It's like anarchist shit, deep left.
But he's Danish, no?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's Danish. Yeah. Danish citizen. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, but it's like the crimes he's charged with. Most of them are in London, South London, Croydon area. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But so how do you like? So I'm seeing Hannah dealing with this kind of thing, with how Hannah deals with things, and that's fine. But like, how do you ever get?
Hey,
used to
what
this?
Do you mean?
I mean that you are great, honey.
Yeah.
But I'm like.
I love you too.
Yeah. How do you get used to this? I mean, it's so brutal, using this kind of brutal violence, and
it's only once in a while, and you know, sometimes they thank you also, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, why is that?
I mean, this I mean, they understand that things gotta keep moving, and some of them are in distress when we have to go like that, and you know, sometimes the medication and so on, sometimes that doesn't help, but I mean, it's mostly, but these are people at their end of their ropes, and they, you know, as long as you treat them respectfully but fucking firm, then respect comes back at you.
Yeah,
and that respect can be, Hannah flashes a glance at him, maybe even punches his leg. Yeah, respect is a good thing. It's good.
Yeah, okay. And Mom, how long has she been there? She's been there the whole time?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, she's great, right?
Yeah, she's constantly keeping us in line, I think.
Yeah, I bet.
It's easy for things to slip through, and easy for bad behavior to become a habit. She does not let anything like that pass. So it's very good. It's like we're her family in a way. It gets fucking overbearing. You know her. I mean, it's you know. But in the end, it's a good thing. He looks away and like, I've got to go to the loo. And you see handlebars approaching. And Hannah jumps up and runs after him, holding his belt and following him to the bathroom. She turns around and winks at you as they disappear behind the door.
I wink back, of course.
Handlebars harumphs and sits down with his Irish coffee. Stirs it a little bit.
Hi.
So?
What's up?
Yes. It seems like you passed the exam quite excellently. Mom has nothing but good things to say about you.
I'm glad.
That is good. So, I was just want to take this opportunity to state that, there might be need for extra personnel, so you should think about that.
I'm in.
Just for weekends and so on, and it's
no problem.
It's only gonna be if somebody calls in sick or something. We're hard pushed during the lockdown. I know.
Yeah, I'm in.
Good. That was what I want to hear.
I'm in.
So
that's great.
Yeah.
That is what I hope for. Actually, I'm in. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
This is very temporary since we have a lockdown right now. We have extreme staffing needs. You know what a lockdown entails? It means that the prisoners leave their units only supervised. Meaning that there's a lot of supervision and there's a lot of frustration in there, so it can be hard labor. But as soon as if somebody calls in sick, hasn't happened for a week or two, I'm just saying, I would like to put your name down, and that is now done. Thank you. And he stretches out his small but very firm hand.
I shake it and grins, and I'm very pleased by this. This is excellent, perfect. I'm flattered, and I suppose you need people that kind of can bring heavy violence, right? because that's my special talent.
We've seen your conduct both during the other training sessions and now during this encounter there. That's some quite heavy lifting you did.
Thank you.
Yeah. There's, you know, I've been in this line of work now for 25 years, and the prison officers that do not understand that bringing a man down is as much psychology as it is size, and it's as much about seizing moments and being receptive and present as it is just being a brawler. They have understood nothing, and for sure you know that, you understand that, and that means that you can do I'm looking forward to see you in 3 months if everything goes well. Otherwise, we'll see.
I'm glad. Just one more thing, if it helps, like, I I can work nights and evenings. That's no problem for me. If that's like harder to get people to cover, I'm your gal. So no problem. Don't hesitate if it's like bad hours or stuff. I just really need the extra cash. So
you can almost be guaranteed that it's going to be bad hours.
Yeah. I'm counting on it.
Yes, see you in the worst hour. And for your service.
Yeah, see you. Thank you. Cheers. Thank you again. Great.
The other trainees are in the on the mid table there. You see there's this Lamala, the administration for the Warden Education Program, Liam, the submariner, and Riaz, the second generation prison warder. He's nursing a cup of tea, and the others are drinking heavily. He looks a bit like, come and help me, as he looks at you. But just as he does, a woman, maybe in her late 30s, early 40s, comes in from the street. She's carrying a wad of flyers. Going up to the bartender, she hands him a flyer, talks a bit. Moves around. As she moves to the middle table, you see, catch a short glimpse of the flyer she's holding. There's a face of a young woman on the flyer, and oh. Yeah, so you overhear her quite clearly from the other table, even though the music is quite loud. So I'm Julia, and this is my daughter Sarah Richards, and I'm looking for her. I think she might be in the vicinity. Have you seen her in this establishment, maybe? Possibly.
Shit.
They talk, they look at the thing. She moves around. Yeah, she goes to the cork board and she puts one of them up.
I want to kind of... I don't want her to see me. So I will, if I can, kind of move away, like turn maybe my face so she won't see me.
Turn. Yeah, you try to meld into the background. She's now going for another stall. And she's like, yes, hi, I'm Julia. I'm Sarah's mother. She's been missing. And then... Wait a minute, you've seen photos of... No, that's not Paul's wife.
Fuck.
You've seen Paul's photographs of his family, of his wife.
I met her.
You even met her. This is not her.
Fuck. Okay.
Yeah, you fade into the... Into the woodwork as well as you can.
Yeah, but I watch her.
And here comes Hannah. She's running across and she barges right into into Julia. The flyers go flying everywhere. Harry stops and tries to calm her down. She's upset. Hannah plops down just next to you. Hello!
Hannah.
Do you know you can crawl under the stalls quite easily?
Okay, 1 second. I get up and ignores her and goes to the woman and helping her up.
Yeah, she's on her knees collecting the flyers. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
That's very kind of you.
Are you from here?
No. No, I'm from London.
Because I live rather close to a park, not far from here, and like she, I take the flyer and looks at it, studies it, and well, there's quite a lot of youths hanging out there. I don't know. She looks familiar.
Oh.
Maybe.
Yes, her name is Sarah.
Do you want me to point you to the park?
Yeah, I mean, have you seen her? You see the photograph. This is Sarah, maybe 1 or 2 years ago, with a in a public school uniform,
yeah,
looking quite different. But it's clearly her.
I'm not sure, maybe, but if, like, I don't know.
I'm so afraid that she might have gotten into trouble with something, or that she's, you know, somehow...
And you're her mom.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I want to roll insight.
You can pick up some details from her body language and so on, maybe. Mm. Yes. Do you try with insight plus wits, since it's a super short observation?
Yeah. 4.
She is lying. It's clear. She's also a trained liar. She's holding her hands behind her back as she speaks. She looks a bit awkward with the flyer she's holding. And she's also looking too straight into your eyes, not moving her eyes. She's a trained liar, but she can't fool you.
So, do you want me to...
So this park?
Yeah.
Could you walk me to it? Maybe see if you can point out anyone?
Yeah, actually, I'm...
Look similar? Also, what is the name of this park? She has a little notebook.
Actually, I'm not sure, but it's on the way home, so...
You sure you don't want to hang with your friends?
No, it's fine. They are...
See, Hannah is gesticulating heavily behind you, and Harry's like, come on.
They are much drunker than I am, so it's no problem. Let me just... I'm just going to go to the toilet real quick, so you wait here, right?
Sure.
Yeah. And I go away to the toilet, take up my phone, and go into a stall and text Sarah that someone is looking for her and that she can't go out. Just stay put, and I'll call you later. That's what I text her, and hopefully that will not set her off and actually go out. Okay, then I go back out.
Yeah. Just let me get my coat from the... Yeah, she goes where she's hung her coat on a hook, takes it down, takes her handbag and heads out into the balmy late May night. It's drizzling a little bit and the atmosphere is humid. She walks a step behind you, following you. She's quiet. Then your phone buzzes.
I can't check it right now, so I'm just ignoring it for the time being. And I look at her and like, yeah, okay, so... how long has she been gone?
Oh, she's been gone now for a... better part of 4 months.
Yeah.
I'm afraid she might have taken up with somebody who's in prison or something. You know how young girls can get about criminals.
Yeah.
It's disturbing, frankly. She walks on her high heels, snap, 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 just behind you.
I'm turning to look at her, so... she's not gonna stab me in the back. Like, wait for her to catch up. So, okay, so do you have other kids? Or is it...
Yes, it's a big family. It is.
Okay.
It's a very big family. It's hard to be away from them. It's rough. But where did you think that you saw her? What was she doing? Was she with someone?
It's like there's a lot of younger adult kids hanging out there. Sadly, a lot of drugs, pot dealing and things like that. But this park is a bit of a hub. So if anyone have seen her, maybe... Yeah, it's just over here. And... I kind of want to take her to the park, but to a place where I could actually ask her stuff and not be seen. So I'm looking for like a secluded place so we can really talk.
Yes. You have done this so many times, the innocuous conversation, the leading. It's in your mind, it's unclear what's going to happen when you get her alone. There are several different impulses and instincts, some of them deeper, more profound than others. Who the fuck does she think she is?
Yeah.
And you lead her in to the spot, into the killing corner, into the place where you will not be seen, just there. The perfect place. The little hedge maze by the fountain. As the coroner arrives, several hours late, he puts down a large sports bag and a briefcase inside the door and shakes some rain off his coat, hangs it and sits down, and then he snaps up and looks at you, Francis, where you are at the desk with all of the paperwork done. He looks around and sees the doctor, Dr. Jones or whatever his name was. He's there. There's a screw in the corner also. But for a moment he's a bit shocked. Oh, I did not know you had volunteers this late. I think you should have been banged up, he says with quotation marks in the air, by now. But fine, fine.
Well, what can we say? You were late, the body needed an autopsy. I naturally haven't had time to do a full interior autopsy, but I've managed to at least do the basic initial examination for you.
He looks at Dr. Jones for support, getting absolutely nothing but a nonplussed stare back. I'm not late, well, what have you got? Is this what we stoop to now? Having inmates do our work? Jones!
The inmate in question probably knows more about the medical field than you do, then, well, I mean, you know, why not?
Why? Jones looks like he's having a coughing attack, but is clearly hiding a laugh. Yeah, the poor coroner has no support to get anywhere. Looks at you. So, you're trained?
Yes, extensively. You could even say I'm an expert in the field. Coroner work is not exactly my specialty, but it is part of the forensic sciences, is it not?
Forensics? You've been in forensics?
Yes.
Well, fantastic. What a bang-up job you must have done of that to land your ass here. Huh. So, what does our fallen forensics have to say about this?
I just roll my eyes. Every now and then my attention drifts back to that lovely little blood bank vault. I've been toying with several ideas while I've been doing this completely dull paperwork. After all, I already have a pretty good guess at the cause of death, blood loss from extraction, so it's not as if I've been that interested in this case.
Yes. Everything you have found points to the same conclusion. You've seen this before. This is extended blood loss. The symptoms will look like anemia, but it's not any damage of the blood cells or anything like that going on. It's just straight up blood loss. For an extended period of time, your guess would be about a month. About the length of the lockdown. so far.
Yes.
So.
But of course, I can't.
That's the truth. So the question is, what have you put in your. What have you put in the actual report?
I put down what would be expected. Anemia. Sudden. Unexplainable. I have done everything dotted to a T that I would be expected as a medical professional to do, and where I can't answer something, I haven't answered it. But then again, there isn't an answer. Someone with this man's training will not be able to explain it, so...
A plastic anemia it is.
And again, I hand it over. And I just look at that vault. You see, the last thing I've been thinking of has been how to destroy that blood bank. Obviously, I know the temperatures can't be altered, not without the ID. And of course, power outage would be insufficient. But then that occurred to me that if I could just get the right chemicals in there, a small fire, maybe even a little explosion. It probably wouldn't take it all out, but if I could just do a little incident, it could be enough to at least tamper with the temperatures. And that's what I've been actually thinking about this entire time, as I just hand over these papers and say, there you have it. Again, it's a rather strange case, like all the others, but, well, anemia would be my best guess. Very sudden, though. Again, unexplainable.
Yeah, a plastic anemia. I mean, that is, it can happen, occur suddenly to adults, mostly genetic reasons. But so you're absolutely certain that there can be no other condition that can lead to this, because we have, this is our...
Well...
This is our second incident in quite short time.
If you would be okay with it, I kind of bite that back a little, because... I'm not used to having to play nice with morons. If you'd allow it, I'd be happy to help you with the full internal autopsy. But as you can see, I've only done...
No, that will be carried out in the morgue, as per specifications.
Well, there you go.
I'm just gonna... I'll call up Brian. It looks at Jones. What do you say? Another aplastic anemia? Wasn't that the last diagnosis as well? And that was... You helped me make that assessment, right? Yes. I don't think it was a plastic anemia that time. I think we ruled that out, actually. But this being...
Well, as I was saying, if I were allowed, just saying, hypothetically... You might find more on the full internal, checking the lungs, for example, or the gut.
I am fully aware on how to perform a full internal. I will go to the morgue and I will work with my colleagues to do this.
There's also something similar to it.
Don't you have any paperwork to get through?
I've done the paperwork twice.
Yes, but this, you know, this, it can't only be acute cases. Jones... Jones shrugs. Is that all, Coroner? Are we done here? I guess yes. Yes, sign here. Shoves the report. Yeah, the doctor signs and the coroner countersigns.
As he's signing, I quickly mention, I also took some samples for a culture or two. There was something similar about this to something I'd seen once in another part of the world. Curiosity.
Yes. Excuse me? What other part of the world?
Tibet.
Tibet? And this was a... contagious condition?
One manner of speaking. It was a rather advanced virus, which... Oh, I'm sorry, that's classified. But I just so happened to find it similar. Similar. I took some samples, that's all.
The coroner looks about. Well, this is very far off my table. You have fun with your little cultures, and I will spend the rest of this fine night with this gentleman, Slaudas, and see what he can tell me.
Yes, well, good luck with that. It really does seem like a rather advanced mystery. That was actually the sort of thing I used to deal with, but I'm sure
you'll
be able to...
Well, I'd be sure to consult you if there's something anomalous that I can't wrap my head around. I'd be sure to do that. Jones, I'll see you there. He looks at his phone. Yeah, Brian is outside, so... can you help me roll this out? Points at you.
Certainly. And I kind of... I'm unsure how I feel. One hand, I despise this man. But on the other hand, the fact that I'm causing him discomfort is a small... little luxury that I haven't been able to partake of for some time, so that's fun.
It seems to, it seems to be enjoyable to Dr. Jones as well. After carting the body out to the waiting sluice where two screws take over and takes the body through security together with the coroner, Dr. Jones waves you in back into the clinic. The board screw is still doing a crosswords puzzle in the corner, but apart from that, you're alone with the doctor in the medical unit.
I raise an eyebrow. I was expecting to be escorted back straight away, and once again my gaze just briefly over that blood bank. The key I keep thinking to myself would be if I could just do something timed, a timed chemical reaction, so I wouldn't be in there and either get set on fire or arrested for causing a fire. But anyway, that's where my headspace is, but I'd look to Jones and just say, yes?
That was funny. Ah, shit, local coroner he is. Yeah, I mean, who do you think gets our cases?
I can imagine. He's probably a very average coroner and doesn't like his toes being stepped on by an advanced professional.
I gotta say, your blood work analysis is more than up to snuff.
Well, thank you.
It's,
I wish I could be more helpful, but obviously I literally can't.
Well, you're clear for administrative tasks, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And just to clarify, from a personal point of view, my misdemeanor had nothing to do with the job and how I perform it. If that's what you were wondering, it was not a malpractice charge.
It didn't cross my mind. I've stopped being in the habit of thinking what. Believe me, it makes for a better night's sleep not to know. Huh. Whatever everyone is in here for, I'm sure you're innocent. No, good, but I mean, I can tell from I can tell from the way you handled that report that there's no question about your professional skills.
Well, thank you. It's nice to have someone appreciate it.
So, what do you think it could help out with? I mean, you've gotten a bit of the run of the place. You see what we have. We have injuries almost daily. We have people resting like you. It seems like work therapy seems to be working for you. So, I guess that's what the doctor ordered, right? So yeah, we have...
I can honestly say that now I've been parted from my cellmate, I am feeling a little better, yes.
Yes, about that. I was handed down a... I know you're about to go in for a hearing on that. So it's going to be within a few days. Maybe you can ask for him to transfer something. But yeah, you got the run of the place. What do you think you can help out with?
Oh.
I mean, this.
Well, I mean, I suppose I could help clean. It's not exactly as sanitary as it could be. I could do some paperwork. I could even monitor a few things for you. I noticed the blood bank there. The machines don't seem to need much,
yeah,
but the room itself is a little bit...
I did not want to suggest that, but it's... there's a ton of paperwork on that blood drive thing. And, I mean, I haven't even gone around to looking at it. I think there's...
I mean, it's rather...
Yeah, there's a new... I think there's a new pickup next week, and I haven't even looked at those papers.
Well, to be honest, I wouldn't mind helping with that. After all, I'm an expert in blood analysis.
Yeah, this is probably the least fucking important task in the entire medical unit. So, yeah, there's absolutely nothing exciting about this. So, If you want to take a look at this, he walks to a document cabinet, takes a little key, opens it, and pulls out a row of file hangers, grabs a fat one and hands it to you.
I try and hide my interest, because this is could be very good. Of course they think it's meaningless, but well, in any other situation it would be meaningless. It's just here for storage after all, but I know that that's not why it's here. It's here to fund or feed the blank body conspiracy or whatever. I get so confused these days about how many there are and what exactly is a conspiracy and what isn't. But this is good. This is very good. I could use this if I'm careful.
Yeah, there's a label on top saying the Sankt Anne Foundation. It's smack full of, you know, reports on donors, and there's paperwork, and there's mailing addresses and countersignatures and a whole bunch of legalese. This is a lot. Yeah, you can take it into your cell if you wanna.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Take it in.
I actually say that in a genuine tone, because I don't want to get this Dr. Jones in trouble. They're not so bad.
The tome of papers in your hand, you can feel it shake a little bit. Excitement. Just from the first papers you look at, there's this the donor list. There are numbers of cells, there are prison numbers, there's extraction dates. This is the mother load.
I kind of turn my head downwards and once again try and downplay this. Oh my, I see what you meant. There's a lot. All right, I suppose I'll have to get started.
You have listened to an episode of Red Moon Roleplaying, where we play the third season of the chronicle No Man is an Island for Vampire the Masquerade 5th edition. Our storyteller was Martin Eriksson, and we were also joined by Anna-Karin Linder and Freya Gyllenström. The music was created by Lola Zaza, and the sound effects are from the fine folks at freesound.org, zapsplat.com, and Cernscape. We would like to give massive thanks to our champions of the Red Moon, Martin Hoshobear, Nastasha Rollerson, Simon Cooper, David, Julia, Camilla, Ludwig Manford, Bob Delange, Julian, Cameron, Ryan F., and Xavier for their generous support. And we would of course also like to thank all of our other patrons. Without your support, this show would not be possible. If you want to support our work, please check it out on Patreon. You can get access to bonus campaigns for Cult Divinity Lost and Coriolis there, as well as get early and raw access to all of our recordings. You can also hear your name read on the show as a champion of the Red Moon, as well as play Cult with us. Most importantly, that support is what keeps the show going, so do check us out there. And remember, death is not the end.